Commissioner, did you want to invite Brian back up?
I don't have any questions, but if other people do, sure.
I don't.
Okay, very
Amanda,
good.
Did you want to?
Did you want Brian to come back?
Yeah.
Up? Okay, very good. All right, we are done with our recess. We're back in session. Director Friesa, would you mind coming back up? I think Commissioner Fritz has a couple of questions. And Mr. Janik, if you'd like to come on up, you're certainly welcome to do that too. Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you, Mayor, and thanks to everybody who's still here and for all the good testimony. I thought it was a really great hearing. I'm looking at the information that was just given out in terms of the Madison Street changes, frequently asked questions. And under what are the benefits of enclosing the passageway, it was very clear that the museum, what the benefits to the museum and the public visiting the museum are. I did the only testimony that I heard that's made it the proposal a benefit to the public was the potluck in the park folk who were looking forward to sheltering folks while they were waiting for Christmas dinner, or holiday meal rather. But my real question, my main question is, the bottom bullet here is, what about other options like a sky bridge? And the answer is the sky bridge would not work because ground level accessibility is the goal of the project. It seemed, I was so hopeful earlier this year that you would go away, you would meet with the neighborhood, you would figure out a configuration that would still allow the easement. Because it, to me, the value of people being able to walk through without having to open a door or feel like they're going into an enclosed space, that's also a clear public benefit.
Sure.
So why didn't those discussions happen?
Oh, they actually did, and we had a number of discussions with people in the community, and we opened up some conversations in various groups. And I think the testimony, we went back and heard a lot of the testimony, and it was very strong at the last meeting in April, and really thought a lot about how we maintain that public access through.
But that's not my question. My question is, why not a sky bridge?
Oh, we think it's really important to have one consistent floor on the base level. And that's so important, I think, to the museum. But also, by having a structure in that space, we feel by adding light and security and clarifying the space. If you know the space now, there are nooks and crannies. There's various elevation changes. And we feel by clarifying that space architecturally, and not only on the exterior but also on the interior, we're improving safety and clarity and really contributing at what we feel to the fabric of the city. And then taking it a step further, I think as a pedestrian or anyone who moves through those areas and those blocks, I feel by clarifying and cleaning architecturally and design-wise, we really improve significantly. So the things I heard from the community were accessibility through to maintain the various hours. I think the other very important aspect, and Nicole Chiron was really clear on this, and I thought it was a great idea, of aligning the hours with the streetcar, which I think is really important. And the museum being part of that is something I'm excited about. So again, I would say that we have had a number of conversations, and those conversations will continue. One other point, the gentleman who spoke about placemaking, I thought he made a very, very good point. We've been in discussions, if we're approved here, to move forward with another nonprofit organization to help facilitate those discussions. I think the people who have testified against that, this proposal, we want to meet with them, and I want to hear them. I think it is important, and to hear their advice. We have not designed, ultimately, what this will look like, because we have multiple steps to go.
So I don't know if you're even going to consider the modified skybridge with a small passageway. I can give you or copy for you the retired architect who came and gave his rendition of how it might look. But having most of the passageway enclosed in the building and then the smaller the 8-foot easement, which would then have much more eyes on it because, as was pointed out, you need your staff there to look after the artwork all the time.
Yeah.
Why would it not work? I asked the question of somebody who's testifying, but in many of the museums that I've gone to, there isn't a choice of you go to the where you're going to pay or check in, whichever, and then you're kind of led through the main exhibits.
Mm-hmm.
So why is it important to have the choice of going one way or the other?
Well, I think, again, this idea that let's say you had to go left, up, and over to the modern wing across a bridge is really not in the spirit of the accessibility that we're trying to achieve.
But isn't the Jubitz, what we call it, the Mark building?
Yes.
That entrance is going to stay open or no? Will that entrance that's currently there that is accessible, will that be, will people be able to go in that way, or will that be closed off as well as the art museum one?
Both would be part of the structure, and that floor would be raised 4 feet, and then we'd have one continuous floor.
But people would not be able to get in directly into the
Jubitz.
Yes, they would.
Mark building.
Yes, they would. They would.
Yes.
You could walk in and go right into the Jubitz and left into the...
Where you I mean, I used that... I went to a wedding there, which was really nice, but also go to a number of
maybe
events.
Maybe you're talking about where the event spaces are.
Yes.
That will remain. Everything will remain, except I would suggest, given our really need to significantly invest in accessibility, some of those spaces and doorways and passageways need to be looked at with an accessibility lens.
So I'm gathering then that there's another portion apart from the event space that's got more art stuff on it.
Yes,
that building?
Our building's divided in three different sections. The Mark building has it has galleries, vertical galleries, and you've heard them talked about as sort of a bowling alley. You have the rental spaces, which are in the center, which has a different entry where you've been to weddings and other things. Yeah. And then the other third on the north side is where the offices are.
Okay, that's helpful.
I could pull up drawings, but it gets a little cumbersome.
Well, the other thing I wanted to mention, while we do have many docents here, is that I realize that my job now is not nearly as difficult as theirs. I'm not as familiar with your building because I still have PTSD, except when I go to jolly events, chaperoning a school trip. And I admired the docents, let's just put it that, and the lady who said that you deploy from a certain place. It sounds like a military operation, and absolutely, it was done very, very well.
Mayor, can I just say
Fish.
One comment?
And yes.
First of all, I want to echo what Commissioner – we're not voting today, but I want to echo what Commissioner Fritz said about the hearing today. I had to step aside a couple times because we're on the clock in a negotiation with the EPA. And it's not an easy negotiation, and so I'm overseeing it, and I apologize, but we have TVs on in my office, so I didn't miss anything. But I tell you, one of the things I thought of as different people came and framed this debate from their perspective, I began to think a little bit about Washington Park, and I'll tell you why. When we're doing, Commissioner Fritz is leading an effort to do a new master plan for Washington Park. The truth is that... in the default mode, the people we would hear the most from would probably be Arlington Heights, because Arlington Heights has historically felt that they get the short end of parking and growth and other things because they're the most adjacent neighborhood. And so we spend a lot of time thinking about how can we improve circulation and other things so we don't negatively impact one neighborhood. When my earliest conversation with Commissioner Fritz about Washington Park, she reminded me that it is a regional asset. And she wondered why no one from East Portland was in the conversation, why no one from other parts of our city was part of the conversation. And it actually is a very good point, because we tend to think of certain things as being the impacts in terms of just sort of like a radius around some entity, and we say who's most immediately impacted. But we have certain resources, cultural resources, public resources in our community that serve the region. And so I'm going to think a lot about the testimony, and we might have some follow-up questions. But I actually found that the public benefit question was more clearly defined for me at the end of this hearing, because a number of people came and insisted that we broaden the frame and look at the public benefit as being not just the city and the region, but our whole brand as a cultural capital, not just the 300,000 people who come, but the reputation of our city and on and on. And Randy Gregg, I think, spoke to that. So the tendency in our work is to look at the most immediate impact. And that's fair. And I understand why people a block away would feel particularly aggrieved. just like in Washington Park. I understand if you live in Arlington Heights, the traffic is more impactful. But these are regional, in some cases, even larger than regional institutions. And for me, this comes down to a classic balancing test between a public benefit defined more broadly and a public burden defined more narrowly, and how do you balance the two? Commissioner Fritz has appropriately, I think, you know, put out this question about, well, can a redesign strike a different balance? But it's still the same question. What's the balance, and how do you get there? But I just, for one, felt that this hearing helped me better understand at least a perspective on what I'll call the broader public benefit. And I think that has to be balanced against whatever burden we've heard. And that's our job. That's what we ultimately have to make a decision in balancing those two. So I appreciate it.
Thank you.
And if I might just riff off that, Commissioner, if this moves forward, then I think there can be some things that would make a public benefit for the people who are currently freely going through. Somebody mentioned about the bathroom that you have to get to through the gift store. If there were an accessible all-user restroom that was accessible to the public in that pavilion area, that to me would be a public benefit. People said, you know, it's the maybe the children in the park blocks who might need to use that. So I would really appreciate you considering that. And then what else can you do to make it more welcoming? The example was given of Big Pink. Well, lots of people don't know that you can actually go through Big Pink, and it's not very welcoming. So how would you let folks know? The automatic doors I thought was a really good idea. How else can you encourage people to use it?
Yeah, I think certainly automatic doors is a possibility. Maybe there's airlocks. Maybe they're not even doors during certain hours. I think through the community listening process that I think we want to go under or take on, if someone said to us public restrooms in the pavilion would be of interest, we would look at that and see what the feasibility is. I think we really do want to listen and we want to hear. It's a little bit of a chicken and the egg. There's no doubt about it. There's a lot of money that has to be raised. But at the same time, balancing out, making sure that we listen to the community and become part of the neighborhood is so important.
Yeah, we actually do have a formal process of the Good Neighbor Agreement, which we found really helpful in contentious issues to get everybody to the table and see, well, we can't please everybody all the way, but what is there that we could do that would make it a bit better?
I learned a very important lesson early in my career. It's really about listening, and people need to feel comfortable with picking up the phone and calling me. And I've had some people call me this week, and they came over and we met, and that's important. And I think we all want to achieve the highest levels of success with our community and with our cultural institutions, as well as what we aspire to as a city in balancing all those different factors. I feel that I will say this to anyone in the room. If you do need to call me, pick up the phone, and I will meet with a lot of people.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I also want to acknowledge your leadership of getting the institution back onto a really good fitting. I appreciate that. And also when there is a convener by a neutral party rather than anybody being there, call me. So I would really appreciate, and maybe we could talk offline of a consideration of some kind of a good neighbor agreement so that the concerns that you've heard can be addressed to the extent that they can.
Absolutely.
So I want to add just an oddball issue here, and that is this. There was a lot of disagreement in this room today and lots of differences of opinion on this subject, but I heard a consensus around you, Brian, and the direction that you've taken the art museum during your tenure. And I will tell you, I am both delighted for you and slightly nervous about the honor that's just been bestowed upon you at the national level. You definitely deserve it. You'll represent the city well. And don't forget, you're this city.
Yeah.
So do not let them entice you. Any rate, call
so we need to vote on the
amendment. We do, but does anybody have any more questions before I call the question on the amendment? Very good. Carla, please call the roll on the amendment.
And in review, this amendment adds both a finding and a direction that the pavilion will be open for public passage.
With streetcar hours.
For the streetcar hours, basically.
Streetcar hours.
Yes. Thank you. Aye.
Fish.
I'm going to support this. We did hear, I think, one interesting point, one of many interesting points raised during the testimony was, is there a circumstance under which you would be relieved of your obligation? And the first thing that I thought of, because I was once upon a time in a mayor's absence in charge of the city's response to a monster storm, is the city did tell people to stay home and not to go out and put themselves at risk. So there, I can imagine a scenario where we have the kind of paralyzing storm where there is a possibility that this and other places are not open. What I also think, though, is to those who've said that at some point down the road this could be disregarded or somehow dismissed, if the council requires this as a condition of the easement, I have absolutely no doubt that the museum will honor it to the best of their ability, acts of God notwithstanding. But there are certain events that happen, particularly snow emergencies, where you just physically can't get people out and institutions have been closed, including places like City Hall. So I just was aware of that. Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The amendment is adopted. Aye. Commissioner Fritz.
So on Commissioner Fisher's point, I don't know what the solution is, but I think the concern is that it was vacated in 68 with certain conditions, and then that condition was kind of whittled away at, and now we're back again. So I think the concern, Commissioner Fisher, is not, it is partly about, you know, storms and such, but it's also, you know, in 20 years, as was mentioned, it's $200,000 a year to keep it open. We don't want to do that. And it's our building anyway, so how about if we just get rid of that? So I don't know how to insure against that.
But we'd have to, the insurance that I think of, as long as I have the honor of serving on this body, is it would have to come back to council.
Yeah, but that didn't help in this particular, if this gets approved, that hasn't protected the public walkway to this, you know, as it currently exists. So I just want us to think about, is there any way to make sure that in the future, and I have no particular suggestions, but let's all think about that.
Well, Commissioner, one thing I might add is the proposed ordinance also has an easement document attached to it to implement the ordinance. It's sort of a belt and suspenders. So that easement runs in favor of the city. So the ultimate answer is this or a future council can always change either the easement or the ordinance. But it will require the action of this or a future council.
Right, and we're not, the future council is not going to say knock down the pavilion. So I that's not entirely...
No, but that I'm referring to the hours that you were concerned about.
I know, but that they can come back to council in 20 years' time and say, well, we don't want to do it anymore. Council might say yes.
Well, and in fairness, that would apply to every single issue that we take up as a council. There is the possibility of someone seeking relief. I think we've made a record, however, of the council feeling we have at least put a marker down in this amendment that the hours of operation are fundamental to the easement if the council chooses to proceed.
Very good. Thank you for being here. Thank you, everybody, who testified this afternoon and into the evening. This is a first reading of a non-emergency ordinance. It moves to second reading as amended.
Next week.
Thank you.
Next week.
Next week.
Thank you all. We are
Thank
adjourned.
You. Thank
it's
you.
Not, Carla, it's not time certain, right? It's just
no. Regular. It's going to be on the regular agenda.
You know.